from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Media 2-1. They just get it off into the end zone. Contact.
What a catch! A miraculous, implausible, impossible catch by 12.
Travis Hunter with another clip on the reel.
That's unbelievable. That's a glitch in EA Sports College Football 25.
Duffy was all over him like the plastic on your grandma's couch. I mean, he was covered.
Some highlights last night from Colorado and North Dakota State. The Buffalo v. the Bison. North Dakota State had him for a little while. Had him in the first half. Not going to lie. Had him in the first half.
That quarterback for North Dakota State looked pretty good.
He did.
Cam Miller was his name.
Following in the footsteps of Carson Wentz.
And Easton Stick.
Well, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We'll keep tracking the Gaudreau news and the story there. If there's anything to pass along, we will do that. Joining us on the Western Hotline, a little college football preview. Going to go through some of the games this week and chat about them. It's a football Friday. We had a game last night. UB got a win over Lafayette to open their season. And we did their season preview yesterday. Up next, Brent Axe joins us as we chat Syracuse football. Sure, it's my own interests, but, you know, whatever. They're a team around here that people seem to care about. At least I convince myself they do. Good morning, Brent.
Jeremy, this is your show, man. All right? You want to talk Syracuse football, I guarantee you there's some people out there. At least we know Sal Capaccio.
That's right.
Okay.
Sal told me to do this segment. That's right. That's why we're doing it.
If there's an audience of one, then everybody else will certainly appreciate it.
Very
how are you guys doing?
We're good. How good should I feel about Syracuse football? I mean, there are odds to make the college football playoff. It's an expanded playoff, but it's not absurd to think that they might. The schedule looks relatively soft. They got a bunch of Jimmies and Joes, as they say, and the question is, can they do the X's and O's part of it?
You should feel really good about Syracuse for a lot of the reasons you just said and many others. I have not seen specifically an offensive and defensive line like this ever. I've seen certain pieces on both the offensive and defensive line at times in camps in the past, guys, but top to bottom, nothing like I've seen here. I mean, the transfer portal is just such a game changer. And, you know, Syracuse can go out and get a Demetrius Weatherspoon at left tackle. They call him Big Spoon, who's 6'6", 350. And then you got a right tackle in Savion Washington from Colorado. You're playing the Colorado highlights there. Who's a mere 6'8", 350 himself. And those are your left and right tackles. The offensive line is bigger, it's deeper, and the defensive line gets a Fidel Diggs from Texas A&M, Deion Wilson, they call him the Tank, from New Mexico State. So they've added the size. So we've got to see if these guys can play, of course, and can mesh together in a quick period of time. But you add in Kyle McCord from Ohio State, you add in the returning players. They're not just transfers. Syracuse has all ACC players in McQuinn Allen and Marlo Wax and Justin Barron coming back. You mentioned the schedule, which I wouldn't call easy, especially after what Georgia Tech did to Florida State last week, but it's certainly manageable without Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, or Louisville on it. Like, this is a team that should win 8 or 9 games if they remember what time the games are. That's what kind of team is built here.
Let's talk about the quarterback transfer and just how high the ceiling might be.
Kyle McCord had 24 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions last year at Ohio State. He was about two plays away from beating Michigan, and that wasn't good enough, and they shipped him out. I'm still in awe that Syracuse had the opportunity to get Kyle McCord, had enough money, frankly, in the NIL world to get Kyle McCord. And now he comes to Syracuse, where you're going to give him that offensive line. You're going to give him Aronde Gadsden, a name I should have mentioned a moment ago, who is, you know, one of the best tight ends in college football. He's kind of a tight end receiver hybrid. You're going to give him Zeed Holmes. There's a name that's going to pop this year, guys. Syracuse brought in two wide receivers from Georgia, Jackson Meeks, who's the senior, and Zeed Holmes, who's the young gun, is a sophomore. He's one of the fastest players. Roddy Holmes in that clip mentioned College Football 25. Zeed's one of the fastest players in that game and on Syracuse. He is going to light things up on the offense. So McCord, you watch him at practice, Jeremy. He looks like a quarterback. He doesn't miss. He's in command of the offense. The coaches have said he's essentially another assistant coach out there. I asked McCord the other day how much input he's had into the offense, and he said the coaches have been very gracious to let him tell them what works, and they're going to run. Jeff Nixon, the new offensive coordinator, is going to run a similar offense here that he ran at Ohio State last year. So the sky's the limit based on the new offensive line and the weapons he has. I'll say this, though, guys. Syracuse is deeper everywhere you look except backup quarterback. They still have issues at backup quarterback. So knock on wood, God forbid McCord goes down, Syracuse is going to have some real trouble here. But in terms of what he can do, I mean, he could be all ACC.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, Syracuse the last couple of years, Brent Axe joining us on the Western Hotline, an SU football preview. They're expected to have a nice season. The last couple quarterbacks, when I'm thinking about Garrett Schrader and Eric Dungy, I'm thinking about quarterbacks that were pretty good, but their biggest trait might have been moxie, right? Like, the way they play was something I liked. And this guy might just actually be, I mean, the most talented guy they've had since who?
He's definitely the most talented guy since Ryan Nassib, and similar style of Ryan Nassib. In the pocket, big arm, can deliver. And I remember when we all wanted the Bills to draft Ryan Nassib back in the day when Doug Marrone took over. Memories. You're right about, look, Dungy was a talented quarterback, set all kinds of records here. Garrett Schrader would run over his grandmother to gain 5 yards. And there's one thing I'm wondering about, guys, is, look, Kyle McCord's not mobile. We're not mincing words here. Now, last year he dealt with a serious ankle injury, which slowed him up. But even healthy, this is not a guy that's going to make plays with his legs. He can escape trouble and extend the play a little bit. But those two you mentioned, Dungy and Schrader, were counted on to make plays with their legs, whereas McCord is 100% a prototype pocket quarterback.
Brent Axe joining us on the Western Hotline. Quick Syracuse football preview. They play Ohio tomorrow, Georgia Tech, Stanford. I mean, getting to know these conferences is almost impossible at this point, but you know, it is what it is. You know, but like when looking at where they're projected to finish, like you're saying the quarterback could be all ACC, the schedule, it's not exactly easy, but they're avoiding some of the big dogs. Where are they preseason picks to finish in the ACC? What are preseason projections for them?
Most people have them somewhere between 8 and 11 in the ACC, and I think that's fair based on past projections. Syracuse hasn't exactly lit the world on fire short of a couple of pop seasons. You know, 2018, they won 10 games. They made back-to-back bowl games, which, you know, for Syracuse has not been a consistent thing in the last decade or so. Look, the ACC, you saw it last night. Okay, NC State's losing to Western Carolina until the fourth quarter. North Carolina needed a last-second field goal to miss to beat Minnesota. Georgia Tech knocks off Florida State. This league is all over the place this year. I don't think Clemson is as dominant as people are projecting them. They'll be good, but they're not going to just run the table in the league here. And the All-Coast Conference, as you said it, Jeremy, adds an SMU that can score. And now you got to go to Cal and Stanford. Syracuse is one of those teams. They've got to travel to Cal in the middle of November, and a heck of a trip that's going to be. This league's all over the place. So Syracuse has been projected between 8 and 10. But when I look at this roster and I compare it to what I see in the rest of the league, there's no reason they can't be playing Miami at the end of the season, maybe for a spot in the ACC championship game. Like, I don't think that's a wild statement to make, because there's a lot of teams in this league that have enough talent to do it, but it's managing that schedule. It's not the toughest, but you still do play Virginia Tech. you still play Miami, both at the Dome, which, you know, will benefit Syracuse. NC State will be better when Syracuse plays them on October 12th. That's a tough game. But they also play their first five games indoors, four at the Dome here, and then they go to Vegas to play UNLV. So there's a lot of things on that schedule that Syracuse has got to take advantage of, and it's football. Stuff happens. Nothing ever goes according to plan. But at least the path is laid out for them to bank some wins and go into the last month of the season with a chance to knock off some two really good teams and show they belong in the top half of the ACC.
Looking at their schedule, do you think that that is their hardest game, that final regular season game against Miami?
It's either that or Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has Kyron Drones, who is right up there. There's a lot of good quarterbacks in the ACC. We were talking about McCord and what he could do, but there's a ton of good quarterbacks in this league. And Virginia Tech brings back 20 starters. I picked Virginia Tech to beat Miami in the ACC championship game. So it's a very close draw between those two because Cam Ward is at Miami now. He's kind of the final piece. You know, with Miami, you always kind of have to wonder. Like last night when Colorado was driving and Deion Sanders called for a pass out of the what the heck are you doing time management playbook, everybody was tweeting at the same time, Mario Cristobal, right? So you got to be careful about that when you talk about Miami, but that team's loaded. So it's the biggest difference, Jeremy, in those two games is, you know, in the past, Syracuse would lose one or two guys, and last year was a prime example of that. They had LaQuinn Allen and Dan Villari running some sort of MacGyver offense at the end of the year because their quarterbacks were hurt. This team, you lose a couple guys, there's depth to carry you through. So we'll see how healthy they are when they play those two in November, but short of the quarterback, they lose a couple of guys, they have the depth to at least pull forward, whereas in the past, Syracuse loses a star or two, and it kind of sinks their battleship.
Before I let you go, Brent, I want to ask you about attendance, because when we hang up, I want to talk about like road trips that people can make. Syracuse has been a great atmosphere building with great football in years past, and I know you chart attendance quite a bit and the level of fan support there, and the program had a couple of decent years. So how does it look this year with a remade dome as well, right? Like the next time I go, it's a different kind of building, everything from the roof to the seats to the Jumbotron. Like, how is the dome as an upgraded place to attend a game these days?
It's five stars. You know, I mean, this used to be a drab piece of concrete, as you know, but now literally there is a seat everywhere in the dome. It's one of the few facilities in the country where every seat has a literal seat back, whereas you were sitting on those uncomfortable bleachers before. It looks better. The Wi-Fi is better. You know, let's face it, that's an important thing these days. The food is much improved. You want to grab a dome dog and a dome phone, that's still there for you, but the food is much better. You mentioned the scoreboard, and it just looks better. The new seats they put in look incredible. So the experience all around is much better than it used to be. We'll see if the football holds up. And right now, you know, tracking the first game, they're probably going to now, and remember that with the new seats, the capacity is smaller. It used to fit 50,000 people. Now it's capped at just under 43,000 people. When they put the new seats in, it took away some capacity in the dome. So probably going to be about 37,000-38,000 for the home opener. And then I think as they go, especially that Georgia Tech game, you know, and people kind of get invested in this thing, I think we're going to see maybe two or three sellouts this year, particularly those two big games that we mentioned, and people are into it. So this is a fair weather town.
Yeah.
As much as we have a diehard, you know, fan base, they fill in and sell out based on the people that are like, oh, maybe I should go check out that team, and are just kind of like, you know, following on the edges. Unlike the great Buffalo Bills fans that no matter what, they're going to show up in droves. Syracuse, you got to go find some people and tap them on the shoulder and be like, hey, come to the football game. There's some things happening here.
Syracuse.com columnist Brent Axe on the Orange, who start their season tomorrow. Thanks, Brent.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend. Go Bills.
Go Bills. Well, closer to the Bills season opener. Syracuse is tomorrow, 3:30 against Ohio. I've, of course, been to the Dome, Joe. Not since it's been remade, so I hope to go to a game this year. I went last year.
I'm looking at that Miami game. I kind of want it to be meaningful, but
let's check boxes around
the final game of their season. It could be.
You've been to a game at UB?
Yes.
You've been to a game at Penn State?
No.
Put it on your list. You been to Pitt?
No.
I haven't either. I can't imagine putting it on my list.
Pitt is the Steelers field.
It's Heinz Field. Yeah, it is. Yeah. The same stadium. I can't imagine putting Pitt on my list. All due respect, no. Pitt. Penn State should be on your list.
Okay.
Four-hour drive. Huge stadium. Beautiful area.
Yep.
Penn State's great. Michigan?
Nope.
Me, I've also not done Michigan or Michigan State. I did Ohio State.
If I were looking for like the big stadiums in college football that I need to go to, though, that feels like it would be on the list, wouldn't it?
Oh, for sure.
That would. Ohio State. Ohio Stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've been there.
I have.
What else?
Right now, Michigan has the number one capacity at 107,000.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. What else is drivable?
I mean, Penn State is
Notre Dame
is fourth. I'm sorry, Penn State is second with 106, and Ohio State is, I'm looking at third at 102,780.
Man,
so the number one, two, and three are driving distance day trips.
Yeah.
Then there's Kyle Field at 102,000 for Texas A&M.
Sure. Yeah.
Tennessee, Alabama, look at all these stadiums, over 100,000 people. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Bills games are 73,000 people, and it's about to go down. And all over sports, you see stadiums getting smaller and smaller, except college football.
College football stays super high.
It's a competition of who can get bigger.
Yeah.
107,000 people go to watch a Michigan football game.
What's the biggest NFL stadium?
Biggest, is it SoFi?
In terms of capacity?
Yeah. No, MetLife.
They're not.
MetLife is 82.5.
82?
Yep.
I know Cowboy Stadium can be made to be bigger, but probably not for football. Maybe that's for like boxing I'm thinking of, where it's like 95,000 or something like that. Penn State is what? A five-hour drive?
Four. You can do it in four.
All right. That's maybe the... That's the one that... If I'm ever going to do like a big college football game, that's always the one that I think of first for like that's where I got to go. Penn State, look at their schedule. They're good this year too.
Yeah, they're ranked number 8 going into the season. They open at West Virginia.
How about Penn State hosting Ohio State November 2nd?
Is it a night game?
TBD, it says.
Probably a night game. That'd be my guess. Penn State is...
Does that ruin it?
No, not at all. It's okay. Great. The thing about Penn State, it's 4 hours away and there's not a lot of time on major highways is what I would say. Feels like you are driving into the middle of nowhere.
Ooh, that also... So November 2nd, daylight saving time ends that night. Does that mean I gain an hour?
Fall back, spring ahead, fall back. You lose an hour in the fall, it comes back.
Well, it doesn't help.
So you gain an hour.
Oh, I gain an hour. Well, you fall back. That is
it goes to 2 a.m. and then it goes back to 1 a.m. So right. You gain an hour on the fall.
And then Bills at Dolphins the next day. Be a nice little weekend. Bills, Dolphins, and Penn State versus Ohio State. Also... Oh, no, Penn State's at USC this year. New conferences, can't keep up.
I told you yesterday I started two brand new guillotine leagues because I'm guillotine league right. Santa. Uh-huh. I'm not a smart person. Because
well, okay.
We just had a third child, so I've got three kids.
Uh-huh.
And I am a commissioner now of three guillotine leagues, two dynasty leagues, and a redraft league. I'm a commissioner in six.
Being commissioner is the thing that, like, that's
I'm
what
a commissioner
I would want to cut
in,
back
in
on.
Six leagues. What's wrong with me?
How many leagues are you in total?
Seven.
So you're only in one league that you're not the commissioner of?
Okay, eight. Two.
Okay, eight.
There's two leagues I'm not the commissioner.
See, I'm in 12 leagues right now, and I'm the commissioner, I think, in two of them. I think your fantasy obligation is higher than mine.
For sure. What's wrong with me?
You're in
why would I do
this?
It's
like the equivalent of 30 leagues. You're commissioner. It's like the same amount of time, I feel like, is at least two.
I did send a message to my league. I'm told some leagues tip the commissioner.
I've been in leagues where I've been tipped before.
Uh-huh.
But I think maybe only once. I think actually it was Brian Koziel who did it, by the way.
Tipped. So you won the league and gave you a tip?
I think that's right. It seems familiar to me.
Well, for anyone in my leagues, I do accept tips.
Okay. Have you ever tipped a commissioner?
No. I mean, I'm only in two leagues where I'm not the commissioner.
Right. Right.
And you only tip them if you win, right? Or does anybody tip them?
I think you only tip if you win.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you feeling like you should get tipped? How much are you really doing after the draft? Not a lot, right?
Answering questions. What's wrong with the website?
You're really more like the...
IT guy.
You're the IT guy slash you're like the you're the tourism, what do they call it? The concierge or whatever. That's basically what you
are. I'm customer service.
Your fantasy customer service is what you are if you're the commissioner. You're not really like king. You're not like the president of the league. You're more like you're the You're there to answer texts when people don't know how to do things. Like why Zach Ertz is a protected free agent in one of our leagues. I needed that answered recently.
What was the answer?
I don't know.
It was an accident?
I think just site stuff that takes a minute to clear out. I don't know.
803-0550, our phone number. Just following up on the Johnny Gaudreau, the terrible news about Johnny Gaudreau and his brother both killed. There are reports about, you had it initially, the driver trying to pass a vehicle. It's like I feel like we're going to soon see visuals of where vehicles were and how the bike, he and his brother were on a bike, bikes, how they were struck, all that.
Yeah, there were, the driver was trying to pass two vehicles, it said. Two vehicles on a road that really didn't have like a shoulder for the, so they were, I guess, in the lane and the other driver pulled to the middle to go around them. And then maybe the truck came up on the right. Like, I don't, that's kind of how it sounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just starting to get the details on that. Now it's more, a lot on Twitter, it's like stories about him and his him with his family and, you know, how he treated Patrick Laine when Laine was going through a tough time in Columbus recently. Yeah, and
I saw that Mark Sheeg of, Columbus Blue Jackets writer and Pro Hockey Writer Association member, he related a couple of details here. One, that Mike Greenberg...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When announcing it on ESPN, it just said that the driver was arrested and charged with suspicion of drunk driving as well.
Yeah, and two counts.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the part about Laine, that at the end of the season availability in April, like they're wrapping up.
Yeah,
he was talking about Laine in the player assistance program. Gaudreau said of Laine, "They're not alone in the city. They have us. We got to be there for them as well." Thanked us, have a good summer. Who knew that would be his last words to us? And then he wrote, if there's one thing I hope Gaudreau is remembered for, it's how much he deeply cared about the people in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I have one memory I think of watching him play. I mean, I would have seen him, sure, play the Sabres a few times. But, you know, the game that comes to mind, thinking about him, watching him, is... me and a few friends went to see the World Cup of Hockey in 2016 in Toronto. And the fastest hockey game I've ever seen in my life was Team North America against Russia. And he was on that team. He was on the top line with McDavid and Matthews. And that line that Gaudreau was on, and he was so fast, and the stick handling. He almost kind of reminded me of Briere a little bit.
Yeah.
And that line together is one of the most skilled lines I'll ever see in my entire life.
He had 115 points 3 years ago.
Yep. He was a great player.
Yep. 803-0550, our phone number. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on with that as we see fit. Jeremy and Joe, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock on a Friday. It's supposed to be a nice weekend. We got weather looking pretty darn good. Could rain a little bit tomorrow, but highs today of 86. Right back into the summer. Next week dips a little bit. How about, are we at Sunday? Oh, yeah, here we go. The preliminary forecast for Bills.
Sunday weather?
Bills Cardinals. Right now I'm looking at a high of 76. Sunny.
perfect.
Perfect Bills opener.
We'll have to talk about next week, of course, memories of the Cardinals, because I went to, at some point, a Bills-Cardinals home game in the last 10 years that was also like the most perfect weather you've ever seen in your life.
Bills-Cardinals memory.
Any memory of that game? That's a big Tyrod game, I think.
I don't know.
Maybe that's the 15 season? I'll have to look it up. I remember two things about that game that I went to, Bills-Cardinals, was one, the weather was absolutely perfect, and two, I think Tyrod had like a 50-yard run in that game, maybe. That's it.
803-0550 to join us on WGR.
I would love to be able to tell you maybe if they do this or that with him that it'll work out, but I got nothing. I just don't think that he's capable of playing at this level and at this speed of decision-making. And I think safety is an IQ position rather than a physical position. Somebody like Micah Hyde, I don't think was the biggest or fastest dude, but he was fantastic because he can identify stuff. I think it's also an aggression position, and he just never had that confidence or aggression to go make plays, and that's why he just could never get on the field.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider, on Lewis Cine, who the Bills snagged on their practice squad, stole him away from the Jets. The Jets were also interested, but the Bills got him. So we'll see if they can turn that into anything, shine him up, you know, former first-round pick, so...
Matt said he runs a 4-3, but he plays like he runs a 5-0. Just the processing is what was real slow for him. And I guess it wasn't all injury. He got injured, but he could have been on the field at several different times where the Vikings said, yeah, we'd rather put some journeyman guy or practice squad guy out there, and which is why he only played 10 snaps on defense with the Vikings. But he is very athletic. And was the MVP of a national championship game.
It's pretty good.
So, if there's a guy that could turn a safety into something and get the mental part of it, wouldn't you think it's Sean McDermott? Isn't he the defensive back whisperer?
Yeah. There's news on Tom Brady and his pursuit of being, you know, like the number one broadcaster, which he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's been given the number one Fox job, and the NFL had this tricky situation to try and figure out. Well, he's going to try to buy a piece of the Raiders. How is that going to work? And we already have our answer to that, which is there are rules that he can't break. He cannot go to production meetings.
Uh-huh.
He cannot go and meet with coaches. Like, that's something that these broadcasters do. They go sit down with the coaches. He can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And he can't criticize officials. He's not allowed to criticize officials. Now, you might have already thought the broadcasters are discouraged from criticizing an official. But here it is in writing, Brady is not allowed to.
Wow.
So your lead broadcaster is not allowed to say they got a call wrong.
Right. He can't say it. Was there anything in there? I didn't read the full thing. Is he anything in there about tampering?
Like talking about players?
Can he just openly talk about... Does he have to be careful with that? You know, like, if he's calling a Bengals game and T. Higgins makes a great play, and he says, man, what a catch by T. Higgins. You know, free agent at the end of the year, like, some team's going to be real lucky to have him. Is he allowed to say that? Or is he... Tom, you're talking about, you know, potential player movement now. Like, oh, you can't do that.
It's tough.
So basically, we were going to be getting Tom Brady as a broadcaster, which I already thought might be a little uninteresting, and now we're going to be getting a watered-down version of Tom Brady, right?
Yes.
Sweet.
Big-time watered-down.
Maybe you should just give up partial ownership of the Raiders, but that's a lot of money.
You know who said he should do that?
What?
Noted person that everyone agrees with, Skip Bayless. Tom Brady owes it to Fox to put his Raiders ownership bid on hold while he tries broadcasting. That's probably right. The conflict of interest is, I mean, I guess these leagues are already pretty far in bed.
Yeah.
Like,
but this one's like overt.
This is pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, not going to prep, show up, talk about a game, owning the Raiders, piece of the Raiders.
Yeah. Feels like you should have to choose. One or the other. You don't get to do both.
803-0550.
Unless he could do, like, I mean, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning don't go to these either, right? It's like, if you're that intent on, I want to be in the broadcast game, couldn't you do something different? Could you be in, like, a Manning, a Fox version of Manning cast, even? I don't know. Everyone's trying their own Manning cast, aren't they?
Pretty much.
For everything.
The Kelseys just got $100 million for their podcast.
I saw that. That's insane.
That is insane.
It's insane.
Is Travis Kelce making more money from the podcast than being an NFL tight end? It's close. It's $100 million for 3 years for the two of them. So it's $50 million for 3 years?
I think you're probably right. What's his career earnings? Tight ends also don't make like a ton.
I think he makes like $17.
$76 million is his career earnings.
And he just got $50 for a podcast.
That's insane.
Or maybe, like, you know, the deal is...
Yeah.
He doesn't get $50 million, but he's certainly getting a good chunk.
He's got to pay producers, probably, stuff like that. But he gets the advertising dollars on top of it, right?
I mean...
He's probably making more for the podcast. You're probably right.
He's doing all right.
Yeah.
Also, I saw... Let me pull this up.
That reminds... J.J. Redick said, before he was coach of the Lakers, J.J. Redick, who played in the NBA for like 10 years, said he was going to make more in his media career than he was going to as a player. Then he decided to become a coach. But that might be Kelce, too, I guess. If you're in the top end of that media game, the money's big.
So there's also the story that he's getting involved with a racehorse. I think he bought one.
Brady?
No.
Kelce.
Kelce.
Okay.
The horse's name is Swift Delivery.
Sweet.
And when they were talking about it on ESPN, Adam Schefter asked, hypothetically, how do you know Travis Kelce did not buy an engagement ring?
Who asked that? Adam Schefter?
Schefter. They're talking about him buying a horse, and how do you know he didn't buy an engagement ring? Laura Rutledge asked, I don't know. Do you know? Are you going to break some news here? And Schefter pressed his lips together, smiling, and said nothing.
Okay. I'm trying to look who some big star recently proposed at their concert. And I did have the thought, when does Travis Kelce play near a Taylor Swift concert?
Buffalo.
Oh, right before they play the Bills?
Bills, Toronto.
She's in Toronto. Yep.
All right. That's fine. Good for them.
His profile certainly was raised by Taylor Swift, by the way.
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, that podcast, like, they're not getting a $100 million deal unless he's dating Taylor Swift. So he might get a $30 million deal. It's not like it was the whole thing, but... Is he on the way down?
Like, is he going to be done soon?
Yeah, I can't... He's one of these... We talked about tight ends earlier in fantasy. I can't decide whether or not he would be my number one tight end. I've usually end up picking, like, the third, fourth, or fifth guy. But... He went down 500 yards last year.
Yeah.
And seven touchdowns.
Seven touchdowns and a bunch of catches.
Yeah. And he is 35 in October.
It's got to be soon.
It's got to be soon. And also, like, this is more, I guess, for the fantasy part of it. If you're the Chiefs and your season's going fine and you're on track and your division stinks, don't you kind of... take some off his plate? Don't you try to ride out some of the season while not, you know, putting him out there every play? This kind of happened a little bit last year. But last year, though, maybe it was more because he got hurt in training camp, right? Where his snap counts early in the year, like 64%, 61%, 59%, 69%, like he was not playing, he wasn't on the field as often as he was. But again, that might have been the training camp injury. I'm just wondering if they might dial him back a little bit in the regular season because they know now it's all about the playoffs and just keeping him as fresh as possible. Because he's old. 35. That's old for a tight end. It has to be soon, though.
It has to be soon. And then we get a version. Like, I wonder how much the Chiefs are building for that now, right? The Chiefs have done it without a number one receiver. Someone will call him and say that. And like, all right, when Kelce retires, then what? You can't just go find a Hall of Fame tight end. It just doesn't happen that way.
Or the best tight end of all time.
Right.
Are they preparing for life without him, though? They're not, like, drafting tight ends, are they? To my knowledge, they have Noah Gray behind him. The guys they're bringing in are speedy, fast, got little guys. Marquise Brown, and unless they think Rashee Rice is going to be like some 120 target guy every single year. I like stop myself from thinking about it because it's just, I played the game with New England, right? I waited 10 years for Belichick and Brady to be done in New England. It's like it never was ever going to happen. And we all have the thought, don't we? Hey, Kelsey's 35 and Andy Reid is 66. There's a version of the Chiefs that's going to come someday that does not involve Reid and Kelsey. But I'm just not, I don't want to hold my breath waiting for that. Because that could be, who knows, it could be 6 years.
Well,
not for Kelsey, not maybe for Kelsey. Maybe for Reid, though.
Yeah. 803-0550-1888-550-2550 to join us. Extendo Sports and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, stories from yesterday in college football. UB got a win. Travis Hunter had three touchdown catches. See, a lot of the speculation on him is what should he play, receiver, corner? What should he do?
I think you should tell teams I'm playing both or don't draft me. I think it's what he should do. It's what Otani did. Otani told teams that were telling him, you got to pick one, I'm not playing for you then.
Okay.
Because then you become a top receiver and top corner in the league, and suddenly you're getting quarterback salary.
Would that happen?
What?
He would get $60 million a year because he's playing both sides.
He
would have to be good enough.
Maybe 50. 45, 50. Yeah. I bet, though, he would be the highest paid player at each position just because you're getting the bonus. You're getting two players for one. It would be like you're... You know, how much would, if I told you right now, I could have a player who, I don't even have to make it an elite player. How about T. Higgins and Christian Benford? No, that's not good enough. It's got to be better than that. T. Higgins and Sauce Gardner. That's one person. How much should I pay him?
Yeah, like $45 million.
Sure. So if I'm him, I would try. I don't know if it'll work. The league might just everyone in the league might just tell you, yeah, we're not doing that. You got to pick one. But if I'm him, I feel like I would push as hard as I can to try to play both.
Just for the fun of it, to prove a point. What if he, you know, just wants to be a pro?
The money of it, the legacy of it, the ego of it. Like I can do something in the league, nobody else can.
There might be a debate on whether or not he can do both. Can you really expect to do both?
Why? Because he's going to have to be...
Well, doing it against North Dakota State is not quite the same as being one of the best NFL receivers. Like, put it this way. If you were the best receiver in football and a mid-tier corner, are they still paying... Are they playing you? Load management.
You're saying he'd have to be elite at
now,
both.
Now I'm twice as... Hey, Sal Capaccio jumping in for Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal, on this Travis Hunter conversation, I don't know if you have a thought on this. You know, if you're the best receiver in football, you're a mid-level corner. Isn't that team going to say you're too valuable at receiver to risk you getting hurt on every play?
Mm-hmm.
Both sides?
I think so. I think so. But listen, I mean, I get Joe's point, but I think the problem with it, Joe, would be when he gets drafted, wherever it is, he gets the same money. He gets no matter. He has no negotiation power whatsoever for three years.
Yeah. Right. It wouldn't
like
be.
He can't say you're going to pay me this. So over 3 years, he'd have to convince that team to play him both ways for 3 years. Like you're going to have a long runway to see how that goes. Even
right. It would right. It would be a long play. I guess you're right. It wouldn't be different right away. I guess I'm thinking about Otani for it because Otani went $200 million over any other baseball player ever, and a lot of that was he's going to be elite at two different things for you.
But the difference for that is
because it was a free agent.
Not just that, he doesn't pitch every day. He pitches once every 5 days, and pitchers get four out of every five off. So he's like, I'll just hit during that time, and that's definitely like a cheat and a double up. Whereas, hey, your offense just came off the field on 3rd and 10. You're staying out there to play defense. I just think it's a noble goal, and if he's good enough, then more power to him. It'd be pretty cool to see. I just feel like teams would say We're too specialized. Load management matters, and you know you have to be fresh.
I think you make a good point about like if he's a mid-level player at one of the positions, then it kind of dies there. But I will say, Pro Football Focus's early draft rankings for next year, very early, had him listed as the number 5 wide receiver and the number 3 corner. So, like, that part of that write-up is they think he's has a higher ceiling at corner. Like, imagine the Bills take Travis Hunter at corner, and or anybody.
Future Bills wide receiver, sure. Travis Hunter?
Right, like, he's amazing for you at corner, and you are looking for another good receiver. And there's just this dude on your team already that, like, oh, he would have been a top 15 pick if he only played receiver. He's just sitting there, and he wants to do it. Like, I think a team would have a tough time not even rotating him in. Maybe he wouldn't be a full-time guy.
Yeah, keep him in the mix.
But keep him in the mix if he's that good at both.
Well, listen, I mean, he could change the landscape, right? We've never seen this before, like this, at this level, I think. At least I don't think, you know, a guy that highly decorated.
Right.
First of all, Deion he wouldn't be able to wear number 12 in Buffalo. Right, he wouldn't be able to wear number 12 in Buffalo. Charles Woodson played both ways. He did.
Okay.
And then he came to league. Part of the issue, though, is guys, especially now compared to back in the day, the way that practices are structured, I don't know how much time you could have to play both positions. Honestly, that would be a challenge for a coach.
The practice
now, you could
stuff,
say it doesn't matter. It does matter. Like, that's why. That's why you don't have receivers as holders or quarterbacks as holders anymore. It's your punter because your specialists are always working together while practice is going on, and you don't have time to go from one position to the other.
Yeah. I wonder what Deion would be telling him about this right now because he's his coach, and he's kind of the last guy that did this. He, in 1996, he was not playing like receiver at an elite level, but he had 67 targets playing wide receiver that year while also being a first-team All-Pro at corner. But you make a good point, Sal. Like, the league maybe was different then, and the practice stuff is everything is so information-based now. I hope he tries it, though. I guess I just hope to see him try it because I don't know that anybody else will ever try it.
Sal, if I were him giving him advice, one of the other, like, receivers the way to go because, A, I do think prolonged career versus corner. You're right about that. But holy smokes, look at the money going to receivers now.
Right, yep. Right.
What's coming up today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show?
Jeremy, you may want to listen in. I'm going to have Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack at 10:30 a.m. today.
Very good.
Syracuse plays at home tomorrow to Ohio, but a lot to get to on the landscape of college sports. We try to get with John Wildhack every year to talk about that, and you know we'll talk NIL, portal, the house ruling, how all that's going to affect everything, realignment, and then, of course, big changes at the Dome, Jeremy. No more bench seating. You see that? It's all seats. It's all regular seats now in the Dome, which is really cool. If you want to go to a game there, Ohio against Syracuse tomorrow. Syracuse opens up their season. Alex Brasky joins me next hour, 11 o'clock, I should say, to talk about the Bills. Alex and I were in the Bills media draft last night. Paul Hamilton was in it.
Nice.
All of your favorite Buffalo Bills media reporters and anchors getting after it last night. So we'll have a little fun with that. And then Patrick Hammer on your Labor Day weekend weather.
Very good. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.